The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will be not, when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? What sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. You hear the slogan, "The battle line is drawn," right? Hello? That's what it sounds like, these readings, this gospel this morning, that the battle line is drawn. Victory. What does that mean for us? To say we will be victorious. Jesus said, "Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute." I'm thinking that some of you know J.R.R. Tolkien, right? The Lord of the Rings, right? In The Lord of the Rings, there is a Frodo who is given a responsibility of destroying the ring. And you have Gandalf, who seems like providing the strength and the encouragement when Frodo feels despairing and kind of losing hope. You know, at the core of that fantasy story is death and the desire to escape death. Frodo, at some point, says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," because of the frustration, because of the pressure I wish it need not happen in my time. And then Gandalf says, so do I. So do I. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. I also want to draw your attention to the life of Cardinal Van Nguyen Thuan. I'm sure you all also, or some of you have heard about him. There's a documentary, I think the title is The Road to Hope, which kind of tells the story of this cardinal by the time he was in prison because he was defending and advocating for the faith during the communist government in Vietnam. This man spent 13 years in prison, 13 years. But during that time, he helped to defend the faith in such a way that it was profound. He was writing letters of encouragement from the prison, going and undergoing starvation, stayed on the floor, on the bare floor, had sleepless nights, but he had the peace of Christ in order to communicate to the people outside, the people who felt they were free. But he was in the prison at the time. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. And at the end, the cardinal gave what he called the 10 rules that helped him to overcome, to conquer the enemies at the time because of his relationship with Christ. And here are the 10 rules. I will take it from there. Rule number one, I will live the present moment to the fullest. I will live the present moment to the fullest. How do you live the present moment? Do you live it out to the fullest? And what does that mean for you? I will discern between God and God's works. This is something that most of us are not able to do. Between God and God's works. Right? Discerning between God or understanding God is understanding that you are in a relationship. That God is with you every time. And then you understand that when you are doing God's work, God is first. And if God is first, then you carry with you God wherever you are. And work doesn't become an escape. Doesn't become a moment of running away from God who is inside of you. I will hold firmly to one secret, prayer. That's rule number three. Holding firmly to one secret, that is prayer. Rule number four, he says, I will see in the Holy Eucharist my only power. In the Blessed Eucharist, your power. Christ Jesus. And this is the mystery of the Incarnation, that Christ himself, who is God made flesh, came to dwell among us. The Word dwelt among us. And that Word completely becomes you. When you receive the Blessed Eucharist, what are you doing? What is happening to you? That is God in you. That is Christ in you. You embrace him and then you move with him. And if you understand that, then every fear is gone. Every anxiety is gone. Every doubt is gone. Because Christ has taken flesh inside you. Rule number five, it says, I will have only one wisdom, the science of the cross. The science of the cross. One wisdom, If you understand that Christ is present, and how is he present? Through dying. And dying for what? Dying for you. Dying for me. The science of the cross is the science that is above every science in this world. The victory that Christ won for us. Rule number 6, I will remain faithful to my mission in the church and for the church as a witness of Jesus Christ. How do you bear witness to Jesus Christ? How does that happen? From your home, from your house, before your children, before your wife or your husband, at your place of work. How do you bear witness to Christ? If you understand that God is inside you, then you bear witness. When you greet somebody, there is Christ, right? So you don't come to church and then after Mass this morning, you leave Christ and then you go away, right? You become that person outside. You pick up the fight. There's a fight that you left at home with your husband last night, right? And then this morning, let me go to church. I'm coming back. When I come back, we finish this battle. Right? Sometimes this is that which means we are compartmentalizing our faith. You don't have to compartmentalize your faith. Your faith is who you are. Your faith is who you are. When you are in church, when you are outside the church, when you are participating in election, which is going on now, when you are voting, what are you voting? How are you voting? Who are you voting for? Your faith should influence all this. That is when you are a witness. When you are in your office working and serving, whether you are at the front desk or inside, whether you are the CEO or you are an employee, your faith should bear witness wherever you are. Rule number 7, I will seek the peace that the world cannot give. Where is that peace that the world cannot give? In our hearts. If you know Christ, then you know that the world is nothing. The world is nothing. This morning, just this morning, I had a call about this old lady who feels she's tired. And she just lost a daughter, actually. And then it's been so much for her. And she says, I think I'm done. So one of the things she requested is the last rites. So I went to see her this morning. And when I got there, you could see the peace on this woman's face. She's communicating. She's able to talk and all that. So I said, have you eaten? Have you had anything to eat? She says, no. All I want is Christ. All I want is the peace of Christ. And I'm watching the daughters crying, and this woman is smiling, right? She's smiling. I'm like, you can feel the beauty of Jesus. You can feel his beauty, the beauty of God. If you feel it, you know peace. If you feel the beauty of Jesus, you're not afraid. If you feel the beauty of Jesus, you are ready any moment. If you feel the beauty of Jesus, you are able to give beauty. Because that beauty comes from God. It's not about what the world says. And that is the problem. In fact, I've been following and listening to some of these podcasts and reflections on the integration of human and spiritual formation. And there's this lady. Her name is Leah Darrow. Leah describes what beauty means. She was a mother before, a pageant. She was like out in the world. And she started describing how she found this beauty. She said she was at a photo exhibition that they were about to do. And right there and then, it struck her. That was when she had her conversion. And she said, I discovered that I was looking for external beauty. There's a drive inside me. But that drive was leading me to follow what the world was defining as beauty. But the moment I noticed that beauty is not just an aspect, beauty is a whole. Beauty is not the enemy, beauty is the friend. Beauty is beautiful because God is the source of beauty. That is when you know the peace that the world cannot give. If you understand the source of this beauty, the source of this beauty is the good, who is God, and this good is the good that leads you to the truth, that is Christ Jesus, then you know that beauty is not what you're wearing. Beauty is not your hairstyle. Beauty is not your sandals or your shoes. Beauty is not your wristwatch. Beauty is not what people say. Beauty is God, who is the source of all good. That is the peace that the world cannot give. Rule number 8, he says, I will carry out a revolution by the renewal in the Holy Spirit. A revolution by the renewal in the Holy Spirit. Today at 3 p.m., we're having a confirmation at Christ the King. Confirmation is the reception of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit breathes into us, inside us. And sometimes the way the Holy Spirit wants us to live is different from the way of the world. Hello? You still awake? The way the Holy Spirit wants us to live is different from the way of the world. And that is where you understand the difference between victory for the world and victory for the Christians, which is where my reflection is pointing towards. So what is victory for the world? Victory for the world is prosperity, success, right? I've finished my academic degrees, my PhD. I am a doctor, right? That is success for the world. I am expecting a promotion at work, and once I get it, I roll. That is beauty for the world, victory for the world. I was physically sick, and I am healed. I have recovered. That is victory for the world. My son is trying to enter into one of the high-profile universities, and he got admission. That is victory for the world. I want to travel to Asia, to Africa, to England, Europe. I want to travel all over the world. That is my bucket list, right? And I am still on number 3. And then I have number 10, right? If I get to number 10, in fact, this year I'm hitting number 9. So I've achieved my dreams. That is victory for the world. And when anything fails, you have disappointment and doubts. And if you're not able to accomplish any of this, then you begin to doubt yourself. That is how you begin to doubt yourself. You begin to see yourself as not achieving, not accomplishing, not successful. That is not the victory of the world, the Christian. Victory for the Christian is the infusion of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand that your goal is the ultimate salvation for your soul. At the end of it, what else? What follows? What follows is that you are going to encounter Jesus. Are you at peace? The Holy Spirit makes you to be at peace. And when you are at peace, then you are free from the entanglement of the world, because the world does not drive you anymore. What drives you is your love for Jesus, your love for the Eucharist, your love for the sacraments, that you live a holy life, a righteous life. When you make mistakes, you go back to the sacrament of reconciliation. When somebody offends you, or when you offend somebody, you forgive and move forward. That is victory for the Christian. That is what God wants for us. Number 9, I will speak one language and wear one uniform, and that is charity. That is charity. And that is how you discover this peace and the beauty. Think about Mother Teresa of Calcutta as an example, right? Physically speaking, Mother Teresa is not like one of those beautiful ladies. I mean, physically speaking. But Mother Teresa was one of the most attractive souls you could imagine. Why? Because she was a conveyor of Christ. She brought Christ to others, and she saw in others Jesus, and she connected with them. One of the most beautiful persons I have seen are those who have physical challenges, those who are poor. When you get close to a heart that is pure, a heart that is like free from worldly allurements and entanglements, you feel the beauty. And that is when you are able to connect to make charity. Charity, love, because God is love. And number 10, Cardinal Nguyen says, I will have one very special love, the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is wisdom. The Blessed Virgin Mary. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Beauty comes from a humble heart. The Blessed Mother, the most beautiful woman. What made her beautiful? Because Lord filled her with the grace. The Lord filled her with the grace of humility, the grace of willingness to the will of God in her life. And that is how victory comes. So my dear friends, when you hear about insurrections, when you hear about war, when you hear about flood, when you hear about storm, when persecution is around, Jesus is asking us to focus on what is important and the things that we are able to control within the time that is given to us. Roll with the Lord. Roll with Him, and you can take the punches. If you roll with Christ, you can take the punches. You're not afraid. You're not afraid. Your family, teach them, show them, bring them, hold them up. Connect in charity, in love, and bring Jesus, because you receive Jesus. Jesus comes to you. Christ is telling us today, when they present you, when there are attacks, there's a lot of attacks in our world today, attack against the faith. There is a lot of persecution out there today. Persecution against the faith. There's a lot of threats. People are daily undergoing this. It didn't start today. It didn't begin today. Jesus spoke these words thousands of years back. And these words are still relevant because the words of God are active and alive. They are new every moment. And they speak to our hearts. So what are you facing? What are you experiencing? How are you experiencing that? What is your drive? And where is your drive from? Jesus tells us, you'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Hey, Christian, persevere. Hey, Catholic, persevere. Hey, my fellow worshiper here this morning, persevere. Persevere in the Lord and teach those around you to persevere. Jesus says, we are conquerors, conquerors in and through Christ. Amen. Amen.